Welcome back to the Stay Open podcast. I am your host, Arletta, and do I have an episode for you today? It's kind of a longer one, so I want to hop right into it. But of course, I had to give this amazing human my version of an introduction for her. So a little background before I introduce her and before we get started. I am obsessed with TikTok. I love TikTok for many reasons, one of them being entertainment. But if you know me, you're probably receiving about 3 TikToks a day for me that just make me like keel over laughing. I love the influx of information that can be thrown at you in such a short amount of time. It's entertaining. It is informational. I learned so many things about everything that I'm interested in. And one day I was on TikTok, stumbled upon this beautiful human named Delaney Rowe, and she has just the funniest sense of humor. Her entire TikTok page is all about her acting these different personas that she's inspired by, and we get into kind of talking about where she pulls inspiration from in the episode. But she's an actress by trade. She lives in LA, and the episode, or the TikTok I ran across was, or I came across on my For You page, was about women in their 20s. And it made me cry laugh. It was so fucking funny. And I watched it like 5 times and thought to myself, I would love to have this girl on the podcast. And I was like, you know what? I'll just reach out. What's the worst that can happen? She could say no. She doesn't know me. You know, she doesn't owe me anything. So I reached out to her on Instagram, and immediately she was like, absolutely, I will come on the podcast, name the time and the place, I'm there. So Delaney, thank you so much for being so cool before we even knew each other. Now, as I'm sure you guys will hear in the episode, I adore her. She is a new friend of mine. She is someone that I will definitely keep up with and still keep in my life past having her on the show. And eventually, you know, I'll probably have her on the show again when she has one of her amazing projects that she's working on come out where she can promote it to all of you guys. But I cannot wait to bring you this episode, have you meet her. Please follow her. Please love her as much as I do. I know I don't even need to convince you of that, because she just speaks for herself throughout the whole episode. She is driven. She is funny. She has such a refreshing outlook on being a woman in your 20s. And for the first guest on the podcast for this year, she's the first one. She is a great one. And without further ado, I hope you guys love this conversation. I kind of pop you in the beginning. We were on Zoom and got this recording through Zoom. So kind of bear with me. There's some parts where she cuts out a little bit, or I may cut out a little bit. I fucking hate my Wi-Fi. It's terrible at my apartment. Xfinity, if you would like to have something to say for that, I would appreciate it, because you can call and complain, but it's never enough. They never fix it, and they just don't really care, I think. So anyways, bear with me on some of the technical difficulties. She was phenomenal. There was like times when we had to like hop back on and hop off, but I think for everything it's worth, it actually ended up being really good quality. So yeah, guys, let me know what you think. I'm so excited. Delaney, she is an amazing actress. She is in her 20s, living in the trenches with all of us. And she has such a beautiful outlook and insight on the world. So enjoy.
Yeah, only one of my pods is working.
I hate that.
Whatever.
Does one of your AirPods connect slower than the other one? Because one of mine...
Yes.
One of my, the right one is so hard.
Okay. They're both in. We're both in.
Okay.
Hi.
Yay. Hello. Yes. I'm so excited.
How's it going?
With me. This is
no, awesome. I'm really excited. I've never done a podcast before, but I love podcasts. So I was very excited to do it.
Well, thank you for doing this. I'm so excited. Technically you're like my first guest that I've like never met in person before.
Oh, amazing.
On the show. So thanks for being on. which
of course I'm it's exciting for me. I mean, I was listening to your last episode and it was very funny and very very cool, and I was trying to figure out where you're from exactly. Do you live in Tennessee?
So I live in Tennessee, originally from Colorado. But I've lived in Tennessee for about a year.
Okay, great. Fantastic. Yeah. I've lived in LA for 7 years. 7 years.
7 years. Wow. Mm-hmm. What part of LA do you live
in? Yeah, I live in West Hollywood. I went to USC, which was downtown, and I didn't think that I liked LA. Like when I was applying to colleges, I wanted to go to New York. I was like, oh, I want to go to Juilliard or NYU or something like that. And then I didn't get in anywhere in New York. Mm-hmm. And I got in everywhere I applied to in Los Angeles, but then I was like, oh God, LA, like what a hellish place. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand it. When I went to visit, I was like, this city's ugly. This is an ugly city. And I was really stressed out about that. But then, God, you just take time and then you find people and places. If you look hard enough, like you can find anything that you're looking for in LA, and you have to be sort of patient with it. You know, people say they don't like LA. I'm always like, you haven't worked hard enough to like it. If you have a preconceived notion about it, it's just going to reflect that back at you. You know, if you're negative, it's going to seem like a negative place.
Yeah. I have, I lived in LA for a little over a year back, long time ago, when I was like 12 in middle school. But through that, met friends and that are still my dear friends to this day. So I go visit a lot. So I'm familiar with LA, definitely the vibe. And that's true. The city gives you back what you're looking for. So if you find
100%.
Yeah. But you definitely, you have to be like a special bitch to live in LA. Like you have to have some form of self-knowing, I feel like, to live there. Because if you don't, that's when you can, you know, not meet people that are really who you are, and caught up in maybe some things that you think you are, but you're not.
Yeah. And I feel very lucky because I think everybody in my circle is that way. And you have to have such a sense of humor, I think, or else it's really, really easy to be into all like the culty health trends, and which I am, by the way, I'm fully into all of it, but and to not feel bad about yourself. There's just like an abundance of beautiful, beautiful people in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And if you have a sense of humor, it doesn't really matter because you feel true to yourself, and that gives you self-esteem rather than like this comparison culture that happens in LA.
Yeah. The comparison culture is hard. I feel like, so how, first of all, I know nothing about you. So how old are you?
I'm 25.
Okay. So you're 25. So am I.
Oh my God.
That's crazy.
I
was like watching your videos and I'm like, I wonder, I feel like she's in her mid 20s, but I don't know. Sometimes I feel like 25, I feel very young still, but now I'm meeting like younger than 25, like early 20s. I work with some people that are like 22, 23. So I'm always like asking people like, how old are you? I don't know anymore.
I know. I always thought that I would be sort of relaxed about the age thing and telling people my age. But when I turned 25, I was like, I am no better than the average like woman who gets stressed out about their age. Like I am stressed out about my age for the first time in my life.
So programmed to be that way. So much so that myself feeling 25, you know, I look at my life and it's like that internal clock starts kind of just like knocking a little bit louder each year. It's like, you're 25. Are you going to get married? Are you going to have kids? You know, looking, comparing yourself to maybe people you follow on social media. And then of course in your industry, you know, do you typically go for roles that are younger or older than you?
Yes. So I go for like 16, 17, which is funny because I think my disposition is not that of somebody who is 17 or 16. My face may look that way, or I can sort of be made to look younger, but that's a problem that I've actually had. And I've spoken about this with my agents. We've all kind of been like, what's going on? Why am I not on the CW yet? Right. And it's just because, their theory is like, you have to sort of grow in to your age that is being presented. So I may be 25, but I'm not going to start reading for roles that are 25 until I'm like 30. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's kind of, it's like a weird double-edged sword at the moment, but I think one day, you know, like if I emerge to be Jessica Chastain, it'll all have worked out.
Right. Well, I actually, so the reason, it's funny. So the reason I lived in LA was because I did act for like 3 years pretty seriously in LA, and then decided when I was like moving into middle school, I was just 12 alone, like Hollywood scared the fuck out of me. And it was like a full year of me really being like alone in my preteens. And so my parents gave me the option, like, do you want to stay and keep pursuing this? Or do you want to go home and do like high school, you know, with all of your friends back in Colorado? And at the time, I mean, being 13, feeling like I'm kind of out of my element, I was like, no, I want to do high school back with my friends. So I left. But when I was there, I've always looked more mature, especially when I was younger, I looked way older. So I was 12, 13, auditioning for roles of like a 17, 18 year old. And my problem had 25 year olds come in and audition for the same role, and they would get it because they're older, so they could work longer hours on set. They didn't have to do full work on set. So I was always auditioning, but was kind of losing out because of these individuals, probably similar to your situation where you're now auditioning down, but you're getting the job because you're not, you know, you're over 18. You can kind of work longer hours per working laws, and you don't have to worry about school and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of benefits to being an actress and getting older, like obviously like that, but then also, like Jenna Fisher, the actress in The Office, she says in her book, like, if you just stick it out, by the time you're 30, people have all given up. All the people you were competing with have given up. And if you're still there, like, you're going to get a job.
Yeah, it's true though. The industry was something that I clearly like didn't have at the time, the foresight to have the consistency to stay in it for so long. But that's the game. Mm-hmm. Look at, you know, the Robert Downey Jr.'s, the Johnny Depp's of the world. I mean, they acted for so long. Leonardo DiCaprio acted for so long until they get their one break. And then once it's your one break, you ride that wave, hopefully for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a game of stamina. Like it truly is. And just being connected to why you're doing it, because if you're not connected to that, then it just sucks. Like it's even with TikTok, it's like, I can't expect every video that I do to go viral. If I do, I'm going to stop making videos because I'm going to be so discouraged. You got to keep doing it anyway, because you love it. And because it is feeling like this fulfilling a void. Yeah. And that's why people are called to be in the industry, because they're like, I didn't choose this. Like it chose me. Like it's that deep of a call.
Yeah, it's so, let's unpack that, because that actually segues into one of the questions that I wanted to ask you. So not just TikTok, which we'll get to, but where do you pull your inspiration from, or where do you pull kind of that energy to stay consistent in your in your job, in your career, and then also like in these different avenues that keep popping up, like Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't pull any inspiration for Instagram. I'm really bad at Instagram. I think back of being like 19, 20, 21, and I was so shameless on Instagram. I would post like 50 selfies a night after having like a couple glasses of wine, just feeling like really loose. I was so confident, like the confidence of Delaney at like 21 years old. Like that's gone. That is all gone now. I don't feel like that anymore. Which is good, you know, in a lot of ways as well. But so Instagram is like a lost cause for me. My route for that is like, you know what, you'll get some recognition somewhere else, and then Instagram will be like this fun thing that you will naturally grow. So I'm not concerned about Instagram at the moment. For TikTok, the inspiration comes from just being in a conversation with someone or a couple people, and somebody will say something. And I'll like clock to myself, like, oh, that's really funny. That's a character, you know, like girl who discovers Moscow mules. Like that's a video I just posted. And it's just like from me, actually my boyfriend gave me the idea. He was like observing that's sort of the drink that girls discover like as soon as they graduate college. And like, that's funny to me.
From your regular like vodka cranberry.
Right.
Girl, and yes.
Right. And then it's like, okay, so if that's the first layer, then what's the second layer? If this is the drink that this girl is discovering, what else is she that she like just like really needs a friend? And so she is dishing to the bartender. And then it just, you like build layers. And the way I write comedy is like I have to say it. I have to say it out loud because sometimes the comedy isn't in the writing. It's the way that I'm saying something. And yeah. So when I'm writing a sketch for TikTok, I'm like in my room, like using voices and saying these things out loud and writing them down, knowing that if somebody were to just read my notes of TikTok ideas, they'd be like, that's not funny. And then me counting on my, you know, crazy elastic face being able to make it funny. And then staying motivated to keep doing it is like just like exercising, because sometimes it sucks. Sometimes I'm like, I don't even want to post this video. Like, I don't think it's funny. I have anxiety about whether it's going to get views or not. And then having somebody check you and be like, don't take this so seriously. You know, my boyfriend had to do that for me the other day. I was freaking out about some video and being like, oh God, that cut isn't right. You know, you can't hear what I'm saying there. And I hate what this is doing to you. You know, like just fucking post it. Like, it's fine. Also, nobody is like, only you are the center of your own world right now. Other people aren't, just because you've gotten a million views.
Right. Well, and you bring up such an important aspect, I think, for anyone who is doing something, you know, maybe for fun or just something that is just an outlet for them of creativity, is not being able, one, to take yourself too seriously, but sometimes you do kind of spiral out of control into this like world because you are the center of it in your head. And it's so important to have people around you to keep you kind of grounded or keep you kind of coming back to the originality of why you started it in the first place. Like, mm-hmm. just for fun, you know, take out kind of the seriousness of it, or just like the controlling aspect of it, I think is really difficult for people to just release consistent content into the world, keeping, you know, obviously your quality bar high, but not taking yourself too seriously where you end up going through a rut where you don't post things.
100%, 100%. And luckily,
I struggle with a lot, especially with this podcast. That's something I've had to teach myself, like, and I'm still working on it, but you know, it doesn't have to be that perfect every single time. Cause what I think is perfect is maybe not what someone else is going to think is perfect. You know, I'm sure you've had videos that you post and you get way more views than you thought you were going to. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Or the opposite, you know, like I will get, I'll think it's so funny. And I'm like, oh my God, this is it. This is my ticket. Like, this is going to go viral. And then it doesn't. And then I'm like, wait, do I not know what funny is? And then you're questioning it. So I have to really check in and be like, does this make me laugh? If I laughed while I was filming it and I had a great time, I'm going to post it.
Yeah.
That's got to be my rule. I mean, it's like, easier said than done, but that's, you know, what I'm trying to connect to at the moment.
Yeah. So the one that did kind of blow up, which you've had a couple, but none yet to the like extent that you had, which is the one that I saw and laughed so hard, like immediately times in a row. And I don't know what it was. I just was like, I feel like I would connect with this girl. I'm just going to throw it out there and see if she'd want to have a conversation. And did, which is awesome. But did you, when you posted that, did you think, oh my God, like this is like, people are going to really connect with this?
No, not at all. Not at all. I was like, you know what? I put makeup on. I had a good fake tan going on in that video. And I was like, I look pretty good. Let's just post it. I don't know if the content's great, but I'm going to put it out there because I look good. And I look like, if you look back at my other videos from that video backwards, I look like shit in all my videos. I'm like sweaty, or I'm like lying in bed, like, you know, I had a horrible angle because I had no viewers. So it didn't matter. But then that one, I was like, I'm going to put a little effort into it. It goes viral. And then now if you look at that video upward, I'm wearing makeup in all of the videos because I'm like, oh, this is what you want. I also was like very stressed out once it started doing well, because I'm talking about drugs, and I was like, in parts of the video, and I'm like, oh no, oh, am I going to get canceled? Like, is my opportunity to be on a Disney Channel show gone? Yes, but you know, I don't want that anyway. It's fine. And there were some comments that were like, oh no, she's, like romanticizing drug use. And I'm like, I'm not. I promise.
Yeah. Well, but there's a fine line between talking about those things. And I struggle with that on this platform as well, because there are some things that I just really want to rant about, but I'm like, fuck, I don't want people to find it insensitive, or I don't want people to think that I'm like normalizing some culture that like definitely shouldn't be normalized. But I think so much of why that video went viral is because you brought up things that people know happen. People, hear. I mean, so many girls I'm sure can attest to the fact they've been a part of one of those conversations.
Yeah.
You know, one of those characters they've heard, they've talked to someone, or they are that person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think people, and TikTok fascinates me in this way, because I think people so often like a video or rewatch it because it hits them somewhere that they're like, oh God, I talk about that, or that person I normally don't say out loud.
100%. You know, and what you're saying about being cautious about what you're saying on your podcast, I feel for you, because in a way I think that's actually more difficult, because in the Stay Open podcast, you are presenting like Arletta as yourself. You are the product, right? When I'm doing TikTok, I'm playing a character. So I can kind of get away with things and be like, well, that's a character. And it is a character, you know, like I don't do drugs. Right. I'm doing a character who does drugs, or who did drugs, or however you want to take it. But it's tough. My gosh, I would imagine for you to be like, you know, what am I trying to say with this? What am I trying to say about myself with the podcast? And I think that's why I've shied away from doing things like YouTube or podcasts in the past, just because you have to be so aware, you know, all the time.
Yeah. And you are your brand in a way, exactly what you were saying. But I think you're also living in such a time where people take things out on individuals that are out, I feel like, very face forward with the public, like through TikTok or, you know, podcasts, whatever. It's just kind of like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So you kind of have to find that in between of what you want to do, like what you were talking about, this calling kind of, it shows you, you didn't choose it. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how I feel with this platform, with podcasting. And so therefore I'm kind of stumbling through finding this in between of, you know, the people that will ride for me regardless. Mm-hmm. And the ones that I'm just not their cup of tea, you know, it's a personal choice to listen to a podcast or not. It's a personal choice to like a TikTok video or not. You don't have to.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to stay congruent with who you are. And that's hard. It's really difficult.
Yeah. It's hard to grapple with the fact that, like, not everyone's going to like you, you know, which is obvious. And you experience that in your normal life. But then when you're putting yourself out there for people to assess, you got to be prepared for that. And like, how are you going to take the criticism and not actually take it personally or let it affect what you're trying to do and what you're trying to say? And discerning whether you're offending people or you're actually just being controversial in a fun way, you know, like that line is hard to walk.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. And especially in your 20s, you know, the reason I started this podcast was really to resonate or kind of just honestly put out that message of like, hey, I can't be the only one feeling this way because I got out of college and, you know, let me know if you felt this way, but I felt like I had been on the same track of so many people in my life. And I felt even in college, I kind of started feeling it a little bit like the separation from the normalcy of what the world kind of teaches you to go into. Because I didn't really know what I wanted to study. And I ended up in 2 degrees that I'm good at, but give me a lot of fluidity in my life, like English and PR, you know, you can do a lot with that. And I chose because I didn't have any fucking clue what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And graduate. And all of a sudden it's like some people are going into another 8 years of school to become a doctor. Some people know that their trajectory, they have to go to law school, or maybe they go back to trade school or find a 9-to-5. And that just was not my jam.
100%. I studied acting at USC and I thought that by even before I graduated, like I'd be on a show, like I was going to have a TV show and I was going to be set. I was going to be Margot fucking Robbie by the time I was 25. And it doesn't go the way that you think it's gonna go is what I wish people had let me know earlier in my life. Because when everybody's telling you that you're talented and you're smart and you're capable and you're beautiful, you're like, I am. You're like, what's happening? Why isn't the industry seeing it? Why isn't the entire world seeing it? And then recalibrating a little bit and going like, there are a lot of really talented people and capable people and beautiful people all doing the same thing. Like, you know, this chronic uniqueness that a lot of like young actresses think that they have, like, it's just the ego going like, you know, I deserve this more than anybody else. And that's just not true. You have to work so hard and find your path. And that's why I started doing TikTok, because things were not going the way that I magically planned them to go. And you got to pivot. And that's okay. And it's also like gives you a sense of humor and it gives you self-esteem to be like, okay, it didn't go that way, but I'm going to find another way. And that like being capable like that is ultimately what gives me the most self-esteem, just being capable.
Well, and being capable in the way mentally to have that conversation with yourself and that perseverance, regardless of the outcome, is something so important to learn, because if I feel like if you don't have that foundation to start out with, especially in a career like acting or doing something like podcasting, without that perseverance, you're not going to last. You know, you're not going to be able to see your goals and your dreams come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And it makes me sad in, especially I feel like this is in women, you get so discouraged and then they just stop. And you talk to these women, you know, as I've gotten older, my mom's friends or older people I've worked with, I often ask like, okay, you hear, what did you study? Oh, I studied biology, but I didn't end up doing that. I ended up doing this. Or, oh, I thought mm-hmm. I was going to be, I mean, my own mother thought she was going to be a soap opera star and ended up stopping in Colorado, never continuing on to LA. And I wondered when I was little, I'm like, how do all these people get to a place in their later life where it wasn't at all in touch with what they wanted to do in their 20s? And it's, right. I think people lose that kind of sense of perseverance in a way, or they let the universe beat them down to them thinking this isn't my right path. And so they pivot, but maybe they leave it too early because they don't have that confidence that you need.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes though, I got to be honest, like I'm jealous of those people because like to be able to sort of have like the strength or lack of ego to be like, I'm actually just not going to do this, to step away is also kind of a strength. Like, you know, me and my boyfriend talk about this all the time. Like, God, we wish we could have just gotten a normal job and like went out of college and went to law school and just did that. And then we're stable by the time we were 28, 29, and then could think about family and like all of that. Like sometimes we wish we were like that, yeah. But we're not.
It's just not who I am.
Right. There's Lena Dunham, like in Girls. Did you watch Girls?
Yes.
From like her arc is struggling with whether she's going to be a writer or not. And you know, I'm one of the maybe third or fourth season. She's sort of like, I think I hate this. Like I don't have the humility to tell people that I don't want to do this anymore because I've wanted this for so long. And she's talking to her friend, Andrew Rannells, and she's like, or the actor's Andrew Rannells. And she's like, you know, how do I know whether I stick with it or give up? And he was like, well, I wanted to be a dancer and I gave up that dream. And she says, well, how did that feel when you gave up your dream? And he goes, it was the biggest relief in the world. And I felt that. I was like, oh God, like, I bet it would be a relief. And to get to a place where you can like, just kind of put it down. But I don't have that.
Yeah, that's okay. You know,
because I want to keep pursuing it and I want to have that drive. But, yeah, sometimes I'm like, wow, it's cool that some people can look themselves in the eye and say, you can give this up.
Well, and I think being able to have that introspective look on your life is so important, especially in your 20s, because you hear so often, like, I think people forget your 20s are not as serious as our society, I feel like, is trying to strive for. Like, there is absolutely no reason why at 24, and maybe if this is someone's jam, that's great, but you don't need to be 24 married with a kid on the way. You know,
no.
20s to me are a place where you try different things. You go after maybe a big goal and fail. And you do that because you have the opportunity. It's almost like when you're a kid, not recognizing when you're in it, the beauty of not having responsibility in your 20s. I feel like we are kidding ourselves thinking you have to have it all together right now, because you don't. You don't have, you know, you don't have a family to financially support right now. So you can kind of gamble in a way, some high risk rewards with your career or maybe investments or different business ventures. You just don't, Seriously, I feel like we force ourselves into this pigeonholed where it's like, no, you're actually in a chapter of your life where you should be experimenting, pivoting, maybe giving up a dream that you thought was the right one.
Yeah. And I think being able to gamble like that and pivot and explore your dreams is such a privilege. Like, it really is such a privileged place to come from, because not everybody can do that. Some people really do have to get a, you know, high paying salaried job very young because they don't have that flexibility. And not having to do that is so, I'm so lucky. Like, I feel very, very grateful that I've been able to do a lot of different jobs, a lot of different things to try to make ends meet and still have some freedom to pursue content creating and acting. You know, because it really is like a charmed life. Like, it is hard, but it's also awesome. Like, it's so awesome that I get to make videos and be like, hey, pay me for this one day. Like, you know, like, that is, it's like really a blessing.
Right. Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. And I think you brought up such a good point with the dream. I wish people would have those moments with themselves. I think like people are afraid to have those moments with themselves though. I think people are afraid to kind of, it's almost like running from your problems, like running from your issues. You purposefully aren't, you know, you purposely don't meditate or maybe are introspective about what you want to do because you kind of have that, like, people have that voice in the back of their head. I mean, you know, I feel like your conscience in a way kind of starts knocking on the door, like, this isn't feeling right anymore for us, or this just isn't working. And there's a fine line between knowing when to walk away and knowing when to still go after it. And
yeah, it's like a relationship. It's like, you know, your dreams are, it's like being in a relationship.
Totally. So how do you stay positive? Like, when you're going through like maybe a rough season and you're looking around and you know, like, other actors that are maybe getting breaks, or how do you stop kind of that comparison dialogue in your head? Like, when you get down?
Yeah. Humor, 100%, having a sense of humor about it. Me and my best friends, one is my writing partner, and the other is a girl that I went to college with. We have this joke whenever we're feeling like, oh gosh, our best, like, one of our friends just booked, oh, or one of our videos got no views. We look at each other and we go like, are you ugly and unsuccessful? Because I am. And we just like go like, ugly and unsuccessful, ugly and unsuccessful. Yes. Perfect. And we love it. It makes us laugh so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a joke. We don't believe that we're ugly and unsuccessful. But like, having that joke around it is, it brings us so much joy. And not a lot of people get it. Some people are like, oh, that's so negative. That's so detrimental to your self-esteem. And it's not. It makes us laugh and it makes us smile. We like to joke about things not going our way, because what else are you going to do? Yeah. Are you going to be sad about it? You know, sometimes there's like, I think such a thing as toxic positivity. When I'm trying to come to somebody and say, you know, why have I not booked a show or a movie yet? Why, you know, have I not signed with this modeling agency? What's going on? I really don't want somebody to then say, it's all going to work out. It's going to be fine. You got it. You've got it. You're perfect. Like, just wait. They'll see it. They'll see, like, I don't need that. I want them to be like, yeah, that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I feel the same way. Like, I want to commiserate. That's what it helps me feel positive, is being like, kind of making a joke out of it.
Right. I was actually just having that conversation with my fiance. We were talking about it, and he was saying, you know, people in his life, so often, like, when something shitty happens, they come and it's from a good place, which is what I was telling him. But for him, he would rather not get the, like, it's all going to be okay in the end. You know, if it's not okay in the end, then it's not the end. Like all kind of just positive affirmations in a way, when he really needs kind of more of the reality behind it. Like, no, that does fucking suck. And that is hard to go through, but you're not alone. You know, you have support. Mm-hmm. And playing humor in a way into it, that you're just kind of like, well, this is the boat I'm in right now. You know, this is just what I have to.
100%. Yeah. And enjoying where you're at. You know, there's a lot of benefit to being where I am at in my career, which is I have a lot of anonymity. So mm-hmm. it's not as though I can, you know, get canceled for posting something bad on Instagram, which I would, because I'm really young and I would say dumb stuff. Like, I think about that all the time. I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't achieve some crazy amount of fame when I was, you know, 19 or 20, because I would have gotten canceled because I would have said dumb stuff. So I like now sort of aging into finding more creativity and more success, because I feel more capable. I feel more confident in my ability to protect my career and have longevity. Whereas, man, I would have screwed stuff up so much had it gone, skyrocketed to success when I was younger. So I like that. So I'm trying to enjoy that. You know, I can make a lot of stuff right now because I have free time and I only work for myself. And that's also a privilege of, you know, being in the beginning of your career, because you don't actually have to answer to anybody. You can write what you want to write, and you're not trying to protect a brand or an image yet. You're figuring it out, and you get to experiment.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, you're bringing up things that are easily forgotten, even for someone like me, where I do hold myself sometimes to too high of a standard on this platform, where I'm acting as if I am already in that chapter, where I'm like having to kind of guard some brand, or, you know, constantly being like, oh my God, how is this going to be perceived? Am I going, if perceived well, am I going to get canceled for this? I mean, cancel culture, I think, is so toxic. And I wish, it's so interesting to me though, because it's also very prevalent now in all of these, you know, younger generation coming up and coming, especially on TikTok. Cancel culture is still very prevalent in that age group. And which blows my mind. Thank God that was not there when I was that age. I mean, because the things I posted on Facebook or on Instagram, on Twitter, oh my gosh, I'm like, thank God that was not around when I was that age. Cause it's just those years, embarrassing.
100%.
Thank God it wasn't. Like, I look back on, and I should delete it, honestly, now that I'm getting older, but like my old tweets, my old, Facebook. And if I even had the opportunity to create TikToks, I don't even know what they would, dear Lord, thank God that was not a thing. Cause I don't even know what I would create. It just,
yeah,
be an embarrassing montage, I think, of me dancing in my living room.
Yeah. I have videos that, I've made when I was younger, getting older, you realize, oh, okay, maybe that's not coming across the way that I want it to come across. Can you be more sensitive in any ways here? Can you be a little bit more clear about who you are? Because you don't want to, that's one of my biggest fears, is like misrepresenting myself. I don't ever want to misrepresent myself. And you have control over that. So being mindful about what you're putting out there, and just editing a little bit more, just like a second longer than you think, is kind of my motto.
Yeah. Well, you brought up something important, which is asking yourself the question, can I be more sensitive? Can I be more introspective or hyper aware of my platform or my surroundings? which I think more people need to ask of themselves, especially as they get older. And it's okay. I think people also feel almost like a sense of, I don't know how to put this, like almost like if they deleted those things, they'd be taking away an essence of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But especially on social media, like you just can't have that big of an emotional tie to things. I think that's when, that's when you get stuck in a situation where you might be misrepresenting yourself online because you have this inability of going back and kind of editing your past, which is okay, you know, because who you were then isn't who you are now.
Exactly. And holding a little space for the fact that people will get canceled or bullied for things that they didn't even think of when they were making a post or doing something that they thought was funny. You know, like recently, not too recently, like a couple months ago, like Whitney Cummings, the comedian, she posted a video on Instagram of her like taking a sledgehammer to a piece of marble in her bathroom because she was redoing her bathroom. And the comments were just going off on the fact that she was ruining this beautiful piece of marble that she could have donated. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how did she didn't think of that? She thought it was funny. Mm-hmm. It didn't occur to her that people who were less privileged than her would come for her, basically displaying her privilege by smashing this piece of marble, which, you know, of course she should have donated it. But I wouldn't, like, that didn't even occur to me when I watched the video until I went deep into those comments and she was getting roasted and then she took it down. you know, so it's like, we're still all gonna fuck up, but you can fuck up and apologize and say, I didn't know. I don't think cancel culture is necessary.
I just don't understand how it was created, this like greater than thou, hide behind a computer screen, troll every single person that just isn't absolutely perfect, which we know, you know, we know we're not perfect. We know other people aren't perfect. I don't understand where we can hold people to that standard.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Creatives on, you know, TikTok. I guess I can understand when you start getting into conversations about people who put themselves in certain careers that have kind of that seriousness level of responsibility. That's completely, in my eyes, completely different conversation than, you know, someone online, an actor or, just, you know, someone funny, maybe that's where they got their start, just being who they are. And yeah, maybe you can point something out like, hey, that wasn't cool, but to completely cancel them as an individual and ruin their career in the same breath is crazy to me. And it's really, really daunting. I think just being, regardless of who you are, regardless of how many followers you have, I feel like that's a fear of people all the time, is like, oh God, I don't want to be roasted for this online.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah. And I think girls, especially, that's why, like, I'm so strongly, or I feel so strongly about, like the way body image is affected, the way girls' self-confidence is affected. It's like why I preach so strongly my views, because even if I'm not someone's cup of tea, I want people and girls my age or younger than me to know, you know, it's okay to have your own viewpoints and it's okay to vocalize them. And you might not, you know, be everyone's favorite, but if you're living your truth, you know, if you're feeling like you are confident in who you are, that's all that matters.
Of course. Yeah. It's hard to get there.
It's really hard to get there, I think. But I've also, I don't know if you were kind of touched on a little bit talking about how you were different in your early 20s. Do you feel like you've grown so much over the last 5 years? Do you feel like that's been a large growth period for you?
I've been a different person, to put it lightly. My acting teacher, Joseph Hacker at USC, one of the things that he told us in his class was, there's no time in your life where you will evolve and change and expand yourself more than from 21 to 27. And I'm seeing that to be very true right now. When I look at somebody who's maybe 31 and someone who's 35, I don't see a huge difference there, but I see a very big difference in someone who's like 21 and 25. I think you're growing at a rapid, rapid pace in your 20s. Because you're making a lot of mistakes and you're consuming a lot, you know, you're reading more and you're listening to podcasts more because you're just more aware of what's out there. As you're getting more intelligent, you are consuming a lot more stuff and it's changing you. You know, I think about like words that I now use that I didn't use when I was 21 or things like that. You know, I've just noticed myself getting smarter. I remember like thinking that when I was like 24, I was like, was this the year where I got more intelligent? Because I didn't feel this like assimilated when I was 21. You know, the way I spoke and my thoughts were so rampant and I was cutting people off a lot and that has started to go away for me. So I think I've become way less of this sort of TMI girl all the time. Like I used to be really open about everything that was going on in my life, my relationships. And then I realized the people who have no boundaries are usually the most transgressive and end up getting themselves into really tough situations. And I saw myself going down that path. So I consciously started implementing boundaries when I was around like 23 or 24. And even my friends noticed a difference in me. They were like, you're much more protective over your time and the information that you're giving to people about yourself. And so that's probably the biggest thing that has changed between those years.
I resonate so much with what you're talking about with boundaries. There was mm-hmm. something that kind of shifted in me in the last 2 years where boundaries are so important. My boundaries come in forms of like relational boundaries. You know, noticing the way that people in my life kind of, I'm so easily sacrificial of my own energy for other people. Mm-hmm. And as I've gotten older, realizing the importance of setting boundaries for myself, protecting myself, knowing my energy and it's okay to not fix everyone is like a mm-hmm. huge thing that I've had to learn in my 20s, as well as, tapering that information. I mean, that's huge. I want to unpack that a little bit with you because I think we often think like if we're not sharing every single piece of ourselves, we're not being honest with the person that we're talking to.
Exactly. But that's yeah. I had to learn the hard way that radical overbearing honesty is sometimes just a trick to try to get people to think that you are being really close and connecting with them. And sometimes it's just a trick. And I had to monitor myself, like, am I being righteous right now? Or is this just a party trick? And I'm trying to get somebody to feel close to me. You know, instead of taking the time to really get to know them, I'm trying to skip all those steps by revealing something extremely personal to them. So right. I think a lot of times there can be a little manipulation involved with that kind of oversharing. And I was just really noticing myself doing that. So I was like, you gotta just bring it back and allow people to learn things about you over time. And you can trust that they're somebody that's going to stay in your life because they stuck around long enough to get to know you. And you don't have to put it all out on the table right up front.
Right. So have you had a difficult time or a good, like a easy time meeting new people in your life post-grad? Like, have you found some really good friends? Do you struggle connecting with people, like finding new people? Where are you with relationships kind of in your older life and your older years now?
Yeah. I'm of a very small group of people. I am very discerning with people. You know, I'm very much more interested in hanging out with the people I really, really like, rather than a bunch of people who I maybe am a little neutral about. So because of that, I spend a lot of time alone, and which is hard for me. It's an interesting paradox, because I'm really right in the middle there of being extroverted and introverted.
Me too.
Because I just love spending time with the people that I love, and I could spend all my time with them. But if I'm not interested, I want to be alone. I'd rather be alone. So it's been kind of difficult expanding my group of friends post-grad. And my boyfriend, Kyle, he has a huge net of friends. And, you know, we were joking the other day about, you know, if we were to get married, like his wedding party would be like 15 guys, and mine would be like me and like 2-3 girls.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with that. I think even just a few months ago, I wouldn't have been okay with that, but I'm coming to the point where I'm like, you don't have to apologize about that. If you like who you like and they make you feel good, nurture those relationships then, and make those really strong, instead of spreading yourself thin out of amongst more people. I haven't had a very easy time meeting people.
Well, I haven't either, which is why I asked, because I have, you know, I have a small group as well, but there are individuals that have been with me for so long in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've met people here and there in the last 5 years that have lasted and I have great relationships with, but they were so random and like happenstance that, and I've met people too that have fallen out of my life, you know, that have kind of, we jived maybe for a short amount of time. And then as I've gotten older, I'm very protective of my energy, and I'm very protective of the people that are surrounded around me. I think it's so important as you solidify who you are, as you come into who you are in your 20s, kind of recognizing who's worth your time and who's not. I know you kind of mentioned like you're very, you take your time seriously, like who takes time from you. And I agree, but I think that's a really good value for people to just have in general, is you should spend time with only people that are deserving of that. I think so often we force ourselves almost like we have to kind of put up with these like fake facades and fake people.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even a matter of whether they're deserving of my time, like I'm any, you know, better, or my time's more precious, but I'm, you know, it's more of a question of like, are we wasting each other's time?
Yeah.
Cause your time is valuable too. And if we're not connecting, it's cool. It's totally cool. We can shake hands and go the other way. Like,
right.
It's all good. We don't have to. And that doesn't offend me if, like I'm hanging out with somebody, I'm like, I don't think we're going to be, like, we're going to hang out after this.
Yeah.
You know, it does make me appreciate when somebody, comes into my life that is new, and I'm like, oh, I love you. Like, I just made a new girlfriend recently who I'm like, I just want to spend at least one night a week with you. And
yeah.
I want to drink wine, and I want to talk about politics with you because you're great. And so I even told her that, because I was like, you should know that like you're important to me, because you know, it's hard to find female friendships when you're getting older. And if you find somebody you jive with, you should put effort into it. It's harder and it's sometimes really awkward, but it's worth it, I think.
Why do you think it is so difficult to kind of find good girlfriends as we get older?
Man, I don't know. I don't know. I think there's this innate competitiveness between women that I think makes it a little hard. And I wish it weren't like that. And I think we can change that by talking about it a little bit more. Men, I think, are a little bit different. Like my boyfriend will make friends with anyone, and it's not hard for him because he's just like, the more the merrier. At least in my circle, that hasn't been what I've experienced. It's sort of like a little bit more, there's more of like a evaluation process when becoming friends with somebody new. So, but I, you know, the answer is, I don't know. I don't know why it's more difficult for female friendships to flourish.
Well, I think you touched on something really important, which is girls are so competitive with one another. And I've never understood it in the industry that I've worked in. You'd think being a minority, like women are a minority in sports, especially in football. Mm-hmm. You'd think we would stick together. You think women would like ride for each other because we're mm-hmm. surrounded by a sea of like men. But mm-hmm. it's almost the complete opposite happens. It's like a lion's den of these strong women who kind of fight over each other.
Few positions.
Yes.
There's very few positions for women in that industry. So it is a little bit like you're competing. Also, what's happening there is it's an industry dominated by men. So then even unconsciously, maybe you're competing for male approval.
Totally.
You know, so it's like, if it's you and another woman, then, and you're competing for all these men to say yes to you and to accept you in this role, it's so hard to be an ally to her when you're already trying to get on these guys' side.
Yeah.
And which sucks. And so I'm really, really passionate about women supporting other women.
Oh, me too.
You know, it's like there's, I think Margaret Thatcher said there's a special place in hell for women who don't support other women.
Yeah, there is.
You know, so I'm always trying to check that. Like, how am I being competitive here? How am I maybe being giving someone a backhanded compliment unconsciously, you know? So, and it all comes back to me. If I'm ever being rude to another woman, it's because I'm feeling insecure because they maybe are better, or I perceive them as better than me, or of a higher status, or more beautiful. And so it's all about me. It comes back to my shit. And so being really, really careful to take care of all that stuff in myself so I can be an ally to women in the best way possible.
What pivoting a little bit, where, so I know you mentioned you like listening to podcasts, like what are some mm-hmm. really good resources that you have found to be extremely beneficial for you in your 20s?
Yeah. What a great question. So Armchair Expert podcast with Dax Shepherd.
So good.
Oh man, I'm an Armchair Expert completist. I have heard every single episode. It's one of those things that I look forward to every week, and it's changed the way that I thought about the world. He's such an evolved man. He's so funny, and his relationship with not only his wife, but everybody in his life is inspiring. He's so, he's ruthlessly self-aware. Mm-hmm. And I aspire to be like that.
Yeah.
So that's one.
Great.
This book, Sweet Bitter, by, her name is Stephanie Danler. So that's my favorite book of all time. And it's incredible. And I think you would absolutely love it. It's about being in your early 20s and living in New York City and working in the restaurant scene. But it's about so much more than that. It's about not having to choose between your beauty and your intellect. And basically the message is like, you can have it all. And, you know, I think there's a lot of messaging that's discouraging women from embracing their sexuality and being able to be taken seriously. And that makes me super angry. I'm passionate about that, you know, and I think Emily Ratajkowski is somebody who's a really amazing advocate for that. She's an incredible feminist, and she's obviously very, she's a sex icon. She's, you know, incredible looking, but she's so intelligent and so, and it's shocking. It's shocking to people when they see a woman who is beautiful and also intellectual. And it's because it's powerful. And if you're a intellectual and a sexual woman and you walk into a room with a bunch of men, you scare the living shit out of them.
Yeah, you do.
Because they don't know what to do with that. And you are so powerful. So she's somebody who's really inspired me. You know, I'm thinking about actress forces of nature out there right now. These amazing, incredible women like Anya Taylor-Joy. I think she's an incredible actress, and she inspires me to really be well-rounded. Whenever I see a young actress who's really well-rounded, you can just tell from the way they carry themselves and speak in interviews that, oh man, I mean, I get jealous, but I also, it gives me hope, because I'm inspired by this new generation of young actresses who really have their wits about them, and they're grounded, and they're so talented, and also not afraid to express their beauty. And so she's one of those people. What else have I been listening to? I'm a huge YouTube fan. Like, I love watching Emma Chamberlain. I love Cody Ko and Kelsey Kreppel. And I love, you know, even like beauty, like YouTubers, like, hell yeah.
Yeah, me too. I love YouTube.
You know, I do that TikTok that where I joke about the wellness influencer, but I love wellness influencers. Like, I love getting into that sort of like esoteric, like health practices or weird creams and stuff like that. So, you know, that brings me joy. Because I am taking my skincare really seriously.
I was like, because my mother, bless her, I love her, she has always instilled in me, like, there's one thing you take seriously, it's your face and your skincare routine. So I'm a little bit psycho about it and super religious about what, like, my regimen is every morning and night. And it's funny because my girlfriends, that have known me for a long time have always known I've been like that. And just now recently, like, when you're 25, you know, your collagen productions go down and your skin elasticity isn't the same. And so my girlfriends now are like, wait, what's that cream you use? What do you do? Like, tell me. Now I'm like taking it seriously. I'm just now washing my face every night. And for me, I'm like, oh my God, I've been doing that for years. Like, that would give me heart palpitations. Like, I cannot not go to bed washing my face. Yeah, now we're like, I died when you said that, because I feel like that's so true of your 20s. It's like coming to the realizations of all these like self-care practices that you need to add. And
yeah, and I think there's a way to be pro aging, which I am. I'm super pro aging. I think it's beautiful. And then also a way to take care of your skin and your body and your mental health. And you can do both, you know, because aging is about finding what's working best for you. And so by using a topical skincare treatment that may also promise to reduce wrinkles,
yeah,
you can still be pro-aging. You can, you know.
I agree.
Yeah, I thought that was funny, because it really is everyone, you know, getting really into the skincare thing. And I really got into it in quarantine, because you have a little bit more time to take care of yourself. And spending time communicating to yourself that you matter is important. And that's what's, you know, skincare every night, even if you don't want to do it, you're communicating to your body that you matter.
Yep.
And that's my, like, even when I'm drunk and I don't want to wash my face, like, that's what makes me do it.
that's what makes you, well, my mom always says for every night you don't want you wash your face, you age 3 days.
No, yes. No,
And every time I've told a girlfriend that, they've had that same reaction. And that's what gets me out of bed, no matter how fucking drunk I am. I'm like, not 3 days, not going to happen to me. I'm washing my face.
Yeah, I still will not though. Like, I mean, when I don't want to do something, like, I'm not going to do it, you know? Oh gosh, if I'm coming in and I like had a lot of wine and I'm like, you know what, all I have on is lipstick and a little bit of the eyebrow pencil, like I'm good, like the most of my skin is free, so we're fine.
Yeah.
I'm the worst with stuff like that. Like, I will not brush my teeth for sure if I'm not like, going to bed at 2 a.m they're not getting brushed, they're not.
Well, okay, so tell people where they can find you, because I just adore you. And I think you are so, you just have this cool vibe. Like, you're definitely, I think it's so interesting to meet people that like, you are in an industry where you do play these characters, but like, you're so grounded. You can tell you're so grounded in who you are outside of the roles you play, which is so unique and important. So share where people can
find you. So thank you so much. That's so nice of you. And likewise, you can find me at Delaney Says Hello on TikTok, and you can find me at Delaney Rowe on Instagram. Oh, DelaneyMarieRowe.com. That's my website.
There you go. That's what I was going to say. What's your website so people can go? Okay. Well, thank you for doing this with me. I think I've held you for long enough. I said it was going to take about 2 hours. We did it in like an hour and a half. But this is going to be a really good episode.
So that's so sweet. Thank you so much. Yeah, hopefully I can come back one day once I have something else to promote.
Yes, please. Anytime, you are welcome on, and I'm sure the listeners will just die. It'll probably be a great experience for them to hear another voice other than my own in the microphone for a change.
Great. All right. Well, thank you so much. Bye, Arletta.
Bye. Have a great time with your parents in Houston.
Thank you.
Alrighty, guys, there you have it. That is this week's episode. I hope you loved it as much as I loved recording it. We will definitely have Delaney on again in the future. And this year is just going to be fun. I have so many cool guests lined up for you guys. If you liked this episode, please let me know. You know, I always love to hear your feedback. I will have everything that Delaney recommends in the show notes linked, as well as all of her social media links, so you can follow her, support her, love her as much as I do. Again, you can always find me at Stay Open Podcast on Instagram or on my personal Instagram at Arletta LaRue. And you can always find me on my website, ArlettaArgyle.com. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to stay open in your life, and I will see you next week.